Well, good afternoon, Juno. Pat Moore, your host for Juno Afternoon. It's just almost 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News. Today on the program, we'll have Jesselyn Rintley in to tell us about the final weekend of Juno's Jazz and Classics. Jeff Van Vonderen will come in to tell us, give us a preview of his talk tonight on intervention for addiction. The Maritime Festival was rescheduled for this Friday, and guests Adrian Lopez and Jesse Post will be here to tell us about it. And Bernie Sorensen will drop by from Juno School District to talk about the summer school program for high schoolers' cares. Weather looks like it's going to get sunny on Thursday. Well, not sunny, but mostly cloudy and probably no rain. Today, we got mostly cloudy, scattered rain showers, highs around 46, light winds becoming east 10 miles per hour in the afternoon. And tonight, mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. One of the largest First Nations in British Columbia, Canada, is asking for help in addressing suicide. The Cowichan tribes held a press conference Monday asking for government help and making a plea to young people to embrace life. According to the Canadian press, leaders say many young people have lost their will to live, and in turn, there has been a spike in suicides and suicide attempts. The Band Council signed a declaration last week calling for a state of emergency, noting alerts of suicide have increased more than 2.5 times in 5 years. Recently, there have been 4 suicides. 3 were band members. The First Nation is developing a strategic plan and asking for federal and provincial governments for resources. Leaders are also calling on government officials to visit the area and address suicide prevention. Native leaders point to issues like high unemployment and eroding fishing and hunting rights as reasons leading to a sense of hopelessness. A Western South Dakota advertising group is working with business students at a tribal college to develop a campaign on teen suicide prevention. South Dakota Public Broadcasting's Gary Ellenbolt reports.
Nearly 3 years ago, the president of South Dakota's Oglala Sioux tribe declared a state of emergency on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Teresa Tubols made the declaration after reports of nearly 100 suicides or suicide attempts over a two-month period. Statistics show the reservation's suicide rate is at least 1.5 times the national average. There have been several programs aimed at suicide prevention since that time. Now, members of the Black Hills Advertising Federation are teaming with business students at Oglala Lakota College to develop a multimedia campaign. The group plans to develop posters and radio and TV ads to air on stations which reach the Pine Ridge Reservation. The campaign is also joining forces with the OST's suicide prevention program, the Sweetgrass Project. The ad campaign is set to start this fall. For National Native News, I'm Gary Ellenbolt.
Musician Carlos Santana is releasing his new CD today, Shapeshifter. He's dedicating it to Indigenous people. The legendary rock guitarist talked about the new release last month on the talk show Native America Calling.
I'm forward thinking with bringing a collective circle of love through sound, resonance, vibration, and a clear vision that you cannot break my spirit.
Santana told listeners he would like to hold a concert.
You know, we have gone through so much collectively, so many lies, so many deceptions, so many betrayals, yet we stand tall, pure, and we claim our innocence, you know? So I propose that we create one day a year, where everybody tries to get together like in Woodstock. Brothers and sisters and brothers from Canada to Brazil, from Siberia, Aborigines from Australia, and invite one concert like Burning Man.
Santana is also acknowledging the 2008 apology to Aboriginal people in Australia and the 2009 Native American apology resolution signed by President Obama. The 13-song all-instrumental recording is being released from his new label, Starfaith Records. On this day in 1978, the Peoria tribe of Indians in Oklahoma was reinstated by the U.S. government as a federally recognized tribe. The tribe had lost federal recognition under the U.S. termination policy of 1959. The Peoria tribe is headquartered in Miami, Oklahoma, and has about 3,000 enrolled members. The tribe elected its first woman chief in 2000. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico, by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and the Nathan Cummings Foundation.
I'm Billy Mills. As a grandfather and Olympic athlete, I know the importance of keeping kids healthy. The Children's Health Insurance Program in your state can provide your child additional health coverage, such as dental care, vision care, and emergency services. Enrolling your child can also help maximize health resources at your travel clinic. To learn more, contact your clinic or call 1-877-KIDS-NOW or visit insurekidsnow.gov.
Sponsored by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
It's 5.5 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska, and I have as my guest right now in the studio the lady who is behind the scenes at this entire, almost a month, 2 weeks anyway, of wonderful concerts and everything like that. Jesselyn Rintel is here from Juneau Jazz and Classics.
Hi, Beth.
And we're in the last lap here.
Final stretch.
Yeah, well, it's been like a race, I guess. We've had it started with Taj Mahal, and then we've had just artist after artist in town, and it's not over yet.
It's not.
So what happens this week?
Oh, we've got
the rest of this week.
Yeah, the rest of this week. We have lots of free events this week, plus then 3 shows coming up on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and we've got something for everyone, I guess, is the bottom line.
Uh-huh.
So let's start with Wednesday, tomorrow, May 16th. We have 2 free events going on in the evening. We have Duets at the Depot, at the Alaskan Brewing Company Depot downtown, and we'll have 3 of our classical artists there, Linda and Paul Rosenthal, and they'll be joined by cellist Jeffrey Solo. But they will be playing duets just in a rotation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's at 5:30 p.m. tomorrow.
Okay, and that lasts until about 6:30.
About 6:30.
And this is, we need to make this clear, this is at the Downtown Depot, not the Lemon Creek place out by Costco.
Right.
This is downtown.
We're down on Franklin Street, and then, you know, around 6:30 when Duets at the Depot wraps up, we're going to wander across the street for a jazz jam at the Lucky Lady. And there we will have Barney McClure, who is our jazz pianist and our artist in residence for this 26th festival. So he's been here since the beginning, and he'll be here all the way through to the end. He's been working with students and giving performances, just doing an amazing job all around. So he'll be at the Lucky Lady jazz jam at 7:30 tomorrow. And we think he will be joined by some members of the U.S. Marine Band Jazz Combo as well. So that will really be a jazz jam.
Probably relatively unrehearsed and the kind of thing that is capable of just going
crazy. I'm excited for that.
One to tune into. This one will not appear on recordings.
Yeah. Uh-oh. So those are 2 free events tomorrow. Those are great. And then we have added a free event on Thursday as well with this, I just mentioned the U.S. Marine Band Jazz Combo, and they have offered to do a free concert on Thursday at noon out at the airport. So they're going to be welcoming, I think it's 3 or 4 different flights that come in during the time that they'll be there. But the public is also welcome in general, so they are just going to take over the airport.
We need to, you know, make it clear to our guests that we have this every day.
Well, yes, this is life in Juneau.
And we'll say, yeah, this isn't the way you come and go.
I have a welcoming committee like that every night at my own home, of course.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, and then there are also a couple of more things on Thursday. So it's not
there are more
than the concert. Okay. Okay.
Thursday evening, there is also a vocal jazz workshop with Dee Daniels. Dee Daniels is coming into Juneau to perform on Friday, and we'll get to that in just a minute, but she is offering a vocal jazz workshop that will be out at UAS at 5:15, and we set that up so that if you'd like to go work with Dee Daniels for a couple hours, we'll let you out around 7:15, at UAS, and you can mosey on down to the chapel by the lake where we are putting on The Genius of Shostakovich, which will be it'll be a very interesting, exciting program. I remember Paul and I were talking with you a little bit earlier in the week about the Shostakovich show. So that's with Yoni Levyatov, Paul Rosenthal, and Jeffrey Solo. There'll be a pre-concert talk for ticket holders at 6:30 where you can hear Jeffrey speak a little bit. And then we also have some local talent. Some of our students will be doing a quick pre-show performance as well.
Ah,
yeah.
So it's expanded into a true jazz and classics evening for Thursday.
You know, these last few days we've got so much going on in so many different genres with so many amazing talented artists. There really is something. I think there's got to be something over these next 4 or 5 days that you want to go to.
Right. So Friday?
Woo!
Yeah. Starts at noon.
It does. Friday, we have a whole brown bag concert series that we've been doing. We've had several of the SOB, but this one is at the Nugget Mall for you Valley folks getting a little closer to you. So that's noon on Friday. Yoni Levyatov will be on piano and Jeffrey Solo on cello. And that is free and open to everyone.
And that's at noon. You can bring a bag lunch or pick up something
exactly.
at one of the outlets in the mall.
Yeah, do a little picnic style with some nice music to make your lunch that much nicer.
Mm-hmm.
So 8 p.m. also on Friday, we have the Barney McClure Trio with vocalist Dee Daniels. So that's 8 o'clock Friday night. That'll be a great jazz show with some beautiful vocals. Barney will be playing on the B3 Hammond organ, so that'll be real exciting. We don't get to bust that out too often.
Is there actually B3 in town? There must be, because
exactly.
I've heard it on recording. Who's got the B3?
It lives upstairs at the Jack.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
You know, you can't buy those anymore. They're not manufactured. They're not made. The company has quit making them entirely. And there's nothing else that sounds like a B3.
Well, we will try not to drop it when we move it down the stairs.
They tried to get it electronically, and they can't do it.
Wow.
Because it actually, inside the thing, there's these turning discs that actually create the sound. And they've tried to create that same timbre, but you just can't get it right. And so you got to have a B3 in order to get that sound.
You got to come see the show.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
And then it all comes to a fiery conclusion on Saturday, May 19th, right?
It sure does. Saturday, the 19th, it's our last day, and like you just said, Pat, we're going to go out with a bang. Community Day on campus is from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. out at UAS. There will be lots of local nonprofits. The Southeast Roadrunners do a big race through there. There's going to be food available. And, of course, there will be music all day long. We have, I think it's 13, maybe a few more different groups who will be performing throughout the day. So that'll be a beautiful day. We're hoping for good weather out at the university. But we have rain plans no matter what happens.
The chances are looking awfully good, because what happens with the weather is Thursday night through Saturday, the Weather Bureau is now saying mostly cloudy with lows around 41, and the word rain did not appear in that part of the forecast. No word rain. So I think you got good. Highs are going to be probably up in the 50s. So it's looking like you could have shirt sleeve
right.
weather,
maybe
not sun, but at least no rain. So yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And then rain or no rain, it doesn't matter to us. 8 p.m. at Centennial Hall, LaVey Smith and her Red Hot Skillet Liquors will be closing us out with a big dance party finale.
And LaVey is going to close us out, because here's a little bit of her music. Let's run through the schedule just very quickly. Okay, so tomorrow, two free concerts, one at 5:30 at the Downtown Depot and one at the Lucky Lady, 7:30 p.m., the Jazz Jam. Thursday, Chapel by the Lake, preceded by the Dee Daniels Vocal Jazz Workshop.
Mm-hmm.
Friday at the Nugget Mall, Brown Bag Concert at noon, and then at 8 p.m., the Barney McClure Trio with Dee Daniels. And then from 11 to 4, Community Day at the University of Alaska, and the whole thing wraps up with no less than this lady coming up at 8 p.m.,
Thanks, Pat.
Just one, thank you so much.
spot. Blow me a bad note, Daddy, make it all night long. Daddy, Daddy, what's wrong with you? Was that note you just blew? Blow, Daddy, blow. Bop, Daddy, bop. Blow me a bad note, Daddy, make it all night long.
It's about 16 and a half minutes after 3, and we are at KTOO News. Temperature or the forecast is looking like we're coming up on sunny days on Wednesday and Thursday. A little sun out there off and on today, scattered showers, and those are supposed to continue through tonight and then on to Wednesday with a chance of showers. And then Thursday, when the forecast gets here, it doesn't mention the word rain. So I think we're looking at a nice rest of the week after a little bit of rain and some cold today. Riding in on the bus driver said she had seen snow on the windshields all throughout the day. So joining me in the studio right now are two gentlemen who are here to tell us about a program which will start at 6:15 with a reception tonight, and then the program is at 7 and 9 in Centennial Hall. Jeff Van Vonderen is here with Matt Felix. Hi, guys.
Hello.
So, Jeff, you're going to talk about intervention, and you've got a TV program on intervention. Is that right?
Yeah, it's on A&E on Monday nights. I'm not sure what time it's on here. I think 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's been on for 7 years. Quite a surprise. I mean, when we first talked about it, I told them I didn't think it would work.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't imagine anybody signing up to have a camera following them around doing all the stuff they're doing to themselves. And, you know, and it's not just about alcohol and drugs. It's about people who are cutters and shopaholics and gambling and all these kind of things. And the, you know, I did interventions before the show, and I'll do them when the show goes away. That's what I do. And I just couldn't imagine anybody I worked with wanted to be followed around with a camera. I mean, because they're doing some nasty, illegal stuff, but they pulled it off.
I've had friends who, because I'm involved kind of peripherally with a religious retreat program. And every once in a while we run into a guy who looks to me like he needs some intervention. But I have no idea what to do about that.
So, hire an interventionist.
And are there people in Juneau who could handle that role?
Matt does interventions.
Matt?
Sitting right here. But, you know, the thing is, when I do an intervention, it's a two-day event. First day is a training day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a long day. So if you watch the show, it doesn't give you that impression, you know, because the show is called the intervention show, not the pre-intervention.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so you kind of
a half hour, an hour. So
yeah, it's an hour show.
You're going to run the whole thing.
No, they do a lot of backstory.
Uh huh.
And they do a little bit of the training, but mostly it looks like, you know, you can talk a little bit and write letters. But when I do an intervention, it's a 6 or 7 hour, 8 hour training day, and when we're finished, we know what we're going to say, what we're not going to say, who's going to say it, what order are we going to say it in, who's going to chase them if they run out the door, what are they going to say when they catch them, where are we going to sit, how are we going to get in the same room, what if they say yes, no, maybe, every single detail. So basically the only thing that's missing after the first day is for them to agree to get help on the second day, which about 98% of the time they do. Mm-hmm. You know. Now, when people try to do it without a professional, they skip the first day. And then they skip the intervention, and they do the bottom line. Usually, they just, a bunch of people meet together and make a bunch of threats and say, if you don't go, here's the bad stuff. When I do an intervention, rarely do we even get to that point because they agree before that. So, you know, people do many interventions on their own for years, decades, you know, and then they don't get the answer they want, or rarely they do. But that's not good either, because somebody will call me and they'll say, we're going to have an intervention on Uncle Ralph, you know, next Thursday night. Do you have any advice? And besides, hire an interventionist,
because
you're not going to get a lot of chances to do the first one right. So do the first one right. But then I say, well, what if Uncle Ralph says yes? And they go, what? Well, okay, what do you want him to say when you're finished? Well, we want him to say yes. Okay, so what if they do? What if he does?
Uh-huh.
They go, oh. See, so what happens is he says yes, and then they start making all the arrangements and all the phone calls and everything else that we've already made ahead of time. And by the time they do all that, Uncle Ralph got drunk and forgot he said yes, and nothing changes. And that happens over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So get a professional involved.
Matt, is this your experience as well?
That's exactly my experience. Yep.
And how much of the of that pattern do you follow when you're running an intervention in your practice?
I pretty much follow that pattern. I mean, I did my first intervention in the early 70s when intervention was, you know, being...
Before it was cool.
Before it was cool.
Before it had a name.
Before it had a name. And sort of winged it, but, you know, after all these years, I was telling Jeff just before the show, you know, when they came on a number of years ago, I called my wife and, you want to know what I do? You know, come in and watch this television show. That's exactly what I do. Uh-huh. And that's exactly what I do. And everything he stressed, I would quote exactly. It's preparation, training the family the day before, a couple of days before. In this case, in Juneau, making sure you've got reservations on the 2 o'clock afternoon plane so that it doesn't stop in Ketchikan for the patient, getting a chaperone with the patient, getting all that in place, getting the bed waiting. Most of the programs down south that we send people to will meet the plane, and we send them all over the western United States. And, of course, the treatment program here in town. It's always full, but it's a great program. But I just... You know, I don't think I do anything different just by chance than they do.
Recidivism is a huge problem here. After the intervention and after some time in a clinic or something like that, people come back to the same environment, and they're faced with the same situation,
And
they slide back into it.
Well,
any way you can build some safety into that?
Well, two things about that. And if you watch the show, you'll notice that mostly we're sending the person quite a ways away from their environment to get help, because you don't want to make it when you get to treatment, it's hard. It's not a party, it's hard.
Well, and it's addiction usually, which is
and it's hard to be in treatment because first of all you're in withdrawal, and if you're not in withdrawal physically because you've been through a detox, then you're at least in withdrawal mood wise your mood misses it, you know. And we don't want to make it convenient for somebody to not like it and call some getaway car that comes and picks them up or take a cab home or whatever. And that's one thing. But the other thing is treatment centers that are credible have a relapse prevention component in them. So we want to send them to one that kind of prepares them. Whether they're going to go home or not, it doesn't matter, because there's nowhere you can go where you don't have access to mood-altering substances. It's better not to go and buddy up to your old friend, your old using buddies again, obviously. But, you know, the show, we've done 225 interventions and 170 are still sober, which is a phenomenal rate. I think relapse has a bad reputation.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Because first of all, alcoholism is a disease.
chronic disease.
Yeah, and when you have a disease, you have relapses with a disease. And, you know, other diseases, people don't shake their head about. They don't even give it a thought, you know. So, like, for instance, if your wife had breast cancer,
mm-hmm.
and you sent her to the Mayo Clinic, and then she was clear for 5 years, and then she got it again, you would not say, well, we already sent her to the Mayo Clinic, we're not sending her anywhere else. You'd send her back to the Mayo Clinic, you know, because we understand that relapse. That's a relapse, you know. We understand that. But with this, there's so much shame still and denial and stigma, you know, attached to it. So, or we wouldn't say, well, the Mayo Clinic is too good, let's just send her to Joe's Cancer Clinic down the block, you know, and take half measures with something like that. Or you wouldn't, if your son had a tumor growing out of his shoulder, you wouldn't say, well, let's wait till it gets bigger before we do something. But with this problem, the addiction and stuff, people wait and wait and wait and wait. And even, you know, I get probably 1 out of 25 people that call me actually do something, which means 24 don't. But all 25 say, you know, Jeff, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible, it's terrible. You know, and I go, wow, sounds terrible, let's do something. And they go, it's not that bad, it's not that bad.
Yeah.
And so then I say, okay, well, then call when it's that bad, then call.
Yeah.
And then for 1 out of the 25, it's that bad.
Who do you want to be at your talk tonight?
Well, the talk tonight is... Who do I want to be there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, everybody can come to it.
Well, of course.
I think that once again, it's 2012, and we've got a problem that has been around forever. And, you know, we started treating it officially like in the 40s or whatever. And even now, with all the publicity and the drug on war and drug czars and all this kind of stuff, it's still shrouded with denial and stigma and shame. And I think that anything that gives people permission to talk about this saves lives. Okay. You know, sometimes people ask me, and I don't know if you were going to, but now you won't. But sometimes people ask me, well, what about such and such a show, you know, a different show on this?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I think are okay, and some of them I think are really bad shows. But I don't get into that because, well, first of all, then we'd have a network war between A&E and somebody else. But truthfully, anything that gives people permission, even if it's a really dumb show, that gives people permission to talk about this problem is going to save lives, because the hallmark symptom is denial.
Mm-hmm.
And so anything we can do to get the message out there. So I think that probably tonight the people that might get the most out of tonight would be maybe family members, I think. Because, you know, really an intervention is an intervention on the whole system, not just the person. And I don't expect that there's going to be a lot of addicts there. But maybe. I mean, I'm good with addicts. I like them. They're my people. So.
Yeah. Matt, how did you find this guy?
Well, he's on a national television show, you know,
okay.
on a subject that we're trying to, raise the stigma from. And
so after you told your wife, this is what I do, then you said, could we get him here? Is that,
yeah, basically, is that the yeah. Last year we had Dr. McCauley, a neurologist, and every year we have a city health and social services grant, SAAB grant, to bring somebody to town. It's part of our efforts to bring this damn disease out of the shadows,
uh-huh.
and get people to get into treatment that need it and whatnot. And you know, I agree with Jeff. The hallmark thing about this disease is denial. I ran the treatment program out here. We did 700 admissions a year. Probably 5 of those admissions walked through the door and said, "Help me." We're targeting the family. You know, the friend, the neighbor, those are the people that call us for interventions. And we're trying to reach those people really through these public workshops and presentations in the public. And everybody's welcome. And, we're in an area with an extremely high per capita consumption of alcohol. We've got a prescription drug problem here with the young people now and old people. We're... at a little bit higher rates than a lot of communities this size. And so, and we can bring this out of the shadows, like Jeff said, and, and get people to call, get their loved one into treatment. Then, you know, if one person gets into treatment from as a result of these public presentations, it's worth every damn dime.
If somebody can't make a 7 to 9 talk tonight at Centennial but feels that we're talking to them about a relative, how would they go about?
They would call NCADD like they have been for 65 years.
Okay.
We've been in town since 1965, or not 45 years, sorry. And one of the oldest nonprofits. We have three interventionists on staff, including myself. And we'll arrange for somebody to work with the family and get treatment arranged and get an intervention going.
Okay. Jeff, program starts at 6:15 with some hors d'oeuvres, and then you're talking at 7 o'clock.
Free food is always good.
Yeah. If you feed them, they will come.
7 to 9.
Thank you very much, guys, for telling us about this.
You're welcome.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Tuesday. It's the 15th of May, 2012. It's the birthday of the nonfiction author Laura Hillenbrand, born Fairfax, Virginia, 1967, author of the bestsellers Seabiscuit and Unbroken, a writer who suffers from chronic fatigue syndrome, so she can go for long periods of time without ever being able to leave her home in Washington, D.C. She conducts all of her research by phone and email. Laura Hillenbrand said, "I'm looking for a way out of here. I can't have it physically, so I'm going to have it intellectually." It was a beautiful thing to ride Seabiscuit in my imagination. It's my way of living vicariously. It's the birthday of the man who said, "I think charm is the ability to be truly interested in other people." Richard Avedon, born New York City, 1923, fashion photographer, also did portraits of celebrities and mental patients, carnival workers, war protesters, ordinary working class people. It's the birthday of Lyman Frank Baum, born Chittenango, New York, 1856, moved to Aberdeen, South Dakota when he was 32, opened up a general store called Baum's Bazaar. He was very popular with the kids in the neighborhood. He told stories, smoking a big cigar, also very generous with credit, and his store went bankrupt. So he got a job as an editor for the local paper, published his first book, Mother Goose in Prose, in 1897, collection of stories based on the nursery rhymes, then Father Goose, his book. But it was his novel that came out in 1900, The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, that we know him for today. It was a big success. He went on to write 13 more novels based on the Land of Oz. It was on this date, 1869, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Susan B. Anthony formed the National Woman Suffrage Association. There was a movement afoot in favor of the 15th Amendment, granting voting rights to African-American men, but not to women. And the women's suffrage movement was divided over whether to support that bill. Some felt that any advancement in civil rights would eventually help women. The other faction, led by Stanton and Anthony, opposed giving those rights to another group of men who they felt would then have no further interest in advancing the cause of women. So they formed their own national organization and made a team, worked together for 50 years. Susan B. Anthony never married, so she could travel. Stanton could not. She stayed home, raised her kids, did the research, and wrote the speeches. Elizabeth Cady Stanton said, "I am the better writer, she the better critic, and together we have made arguments that have stood unshaken by the storms of 30 long years." Here's a poem for today by Dana Gioia, entitled Pity the Beautiful. Pity the beautiful, the dolls and the dishes, the babes with big daddies granting their wishes. Pity the pretty boys, the hunks and Apollos, the golden lads whom success always follows. The hotties, the knockouts, the tens out of ten, the drop-dead gorgeous, the great leading men. Pity the faded, the bloated, the blousy, the paunchy Adonis whose luck's gone lousy. Pity the gods, no longer divine. Pity the night, the stars lose their shine. A poem by Dana Joy, A Pity the Beautiful, from his book entitled Pity the Beautiful, published by Grey Wolf Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by Constant Contact, offering a nationwide series of educational events in support of Small Business Week. Learn more at constantcontact.com/SBW. And by Nook, Simple Touch with Glow Light by Barnes & Noble. Designed for bedtime reading, Glow Light offers paper-like reading with the lights on or off. Available at neighborhood Barnes & Noble stores or Nook.com. Produced by Nick Vetter, written by Holly Vanderhaar. Be well, do good work, keep in touch.
About 25 minutes to 4, you're in tune with KTOO News. I have two lovely ladies in the studio with me, and they are about to tell us about what happens when a maritime festival gets rained out one week and happens the next. So what is going on? Let's see. We have Adrian Lopez here and Jesse Post.
Yes, right. From the Juneau Economic Development Council.
Yeah, so
great to be on.
So first, it got too windy for the Maritime
Festival. Too windy, not too rainy. Do you know ice are used to rain, right?
Okay, okay. And so
it was actually the windiest and wettest days on record from NOAA in May.
We did the plant sale out at Safeway, and I thought the plants were going to all blow away. It was amazing.
Yeah, so it's justified that we decide to reschedule for this Friday.
I think you were the wiser course. I understand they're going to try to run the plant sale on Sunday. I haven't heard for sure that that's going to happen, but they didn't sell nearly as what they got. Okay. So we have a lot of flats of plants left to go. So what are you going to do?
So we've got the Maritime Festival this Friday, and we did change, instead of an all-day Saturday, it's going to be an afternoon and evening festival. So it'll start at 3 o'clock. It'll go till 9 on Friday night. And we've got quite a lineup of stuff. Jesse's going to kind of go through some of our activities.
First of all, we have a lot of the same vendors are available for this weekend, or for this Friday, which is great. We have a lot of food vendors and some kids' activities. Some of the kids' activities that are still participating are Dye Pack and Touch Tank, STEM Sea Perch Remote Control Water Robotics, and some face painting and some boat building activities.
So a lot of kids' activities, really I emphasize that in the beginning. And then entertainment, we've got Jay Caputo with special guest Carrie Groven, Baked, King Volcano, lots of bands. So there'll be the bands and the beer garden, which will be for, you know, an older crowd. The kids' activities, free fish samples, who can give that up? Asmi and Taku Smokeries and Glacier Seafoods will have fish being given away with special marinade, which we're trying to promote not only a fillet challenge but a marinade contest. And we're actually here to give out T-shirts for those who are out there listening today and want to sign up for the marinade contest. So if you're out there, we have two T-shirts. So first two people that sign up for the marinade contest on our website.
Okay, so let me see
there
one of these
go,
T-shirts.
Pat. They're beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful teal with a great logo on them.
It's JuneauMaritimeFestival.org.
2012, and luckily it didn't have the date printed on it.
Very good.
So just the year.
Nice teal color.
Nice teal color.
Yeah, okay.
So if people are out there, they have a special marinade recipe that they want to submit on festival day, go to JuneauMaritimeFestival.org and fill out the application there, and we will just note that you heard it on the radio show here, and we'll give you a T-shirt.
Okay.
So that, the Seafood Fillet Challenge is ASME's newest addition. ASME stands for Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. And what's the winner get, Jesse?
The winner will receive an iPad.
Yes.
So great prize this year. And so I think we are still looking for a few more contestants. We're aiming at some of the processors in town. So
show off
yeah, great
so
prize.
The seafood. Tell me about how this fillet contest works. What do we have to do?
The judging speed and accuracy and also quality are what the judges will be looking for with this new fillet contest, new to this festival this
Filleting contest.
Yes, filleting.
Okay, so we're not cooking fillets. We're actually creating fillets.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, good.
Filleting
okay.
fish. And bring your own knives if you do enter that contest.
Okay.
All that information is also on our website, JuneauMaritimeFestival.org. Fill out the application. So we got the marinade, the fillet challenge, canoe races. The One People Canoe Society do great work, and they're still going to cross the channel on Friday afternoon, come up with their greeting, welcoming ceremony, and have a Native dance performance probably around 6 o'clock.
Okay.
So that's happening as well.
Now, all of this happens right down here at the what do we call it?
Called Marine Park.
The Marine Park. Plaza, okay. Yeah. So it's all in Marine Park.
Yes. And we'll also have the Seadrome dock open with some vessels. We have the Princeton Hall, and we have a U.S. Coast Guard boat. We'll also have a tugboat called the Kodiak King, and some sailboats from the sailing club will be sailing around to kind of add to the atmosphere. So also that Seadrome dock, the Gold Belt dock, it will be open.
And you can get on those boats and tour. The point is to be able to get on. And a fishing vessel we're trying to find right now to add to that. So there's a lot. I mean, what else do we have? We also, it's important to thank the partners and sponsors. I know we've got anywhere from Home Depot donating wood for boat building for kids to
The brewing company will have a beer garden there at the festival, so don't miss out on that. We also have a few newer sponsors. We have the United Fishermen of Alaska have helped sponsor, and DIPAC and Alaska Cruise Association, so we want to thank them.
Yep, and volunteers, if people are interested, if you don't enter the Marinade Contest and you want your free T-shirt, you can come out on festival day. Let us know beforehand and volunteer and get a T-shirt.
Volunteer and, for what?
Well, you can help out with some of the kids' activities. You could do trash pickup. I know that's not exciting, but be at the information
booth. Somebody's
got to
do that.
It's true, right? Yeah. You can help direct some of the tourists that will be in town that day to where we have different activities. So we're definitely open to volunteers because this is a community event, and we really want community to get involved in it.
Did we mention what kinds of food you're going to have available here? I didn't hear
besides
about
the free fish samples.
Well, the free fish samples, but that ain't dinner.
No, that's no. True.
So we got street grunts?
Well, yes. Let's see here. We have, I know we'll have an Asian barbecue and, let's see here, Taku Grill selling reindeer sausages and other types of hot dogs and that sort. Garfield's Fry Bread sounds like it's famous.
Uh-huh.
So he's been around for a while. And we also have, we'll have a variety of other blended ice
cream. So you just
kind
of drift from one
candy
end of the thing to the other and sort of three-course meal, little salad down here, little main course there, and over to the cotton candy for dessert.
Yeah, they'll be dispersed throughout the festival, so you'll have to go all the way around and check them out.
Did you go last year, Pat?
No, I haven't been.
No, you haven't been before.
I got to do this. You've been doing this for a while, right?
Third year,
okay.
And every year, knock on wood, it's been nice. The first 2 years were fabulous, so we're really hoping we score another. Just no rain is fine or wind.
Is there dancing?
Dancing as well. Well, basically the on-stage entertainment provokes people to dance usually. Uh-huh. You know, you really get into it.
So you'll have a band up on the floor.
Lots of bands.
But anyone who wants to get up and dance can.
All the Baked, King Volcano, I'm not aware of, I haven't listened to these ones, but they're local entertainers that play in our club, so they're fun to listen to.
As long as they do something in 3/4, my wife and I will waltz.
Okay. You can do that.
That's our dance. Okay. So, times again.
This Friday, May 18th at 3 o'clock
till 9 p.m.
Till about 9 p.m. Okay.
Yeah.
And are there any particular events that people might want to show up for? When is that marinade contest?
The marinade will start at 4. We're actually going to have drop-offs if you